Welcome to Hello Chaos, a weekly podcast exploring the messy and chaotic lives and minds of founders, entrepreneurs, and innovators. Every week, we talk to entrepreneurs from different industries, at different company stages, of all shapes and sizes. We hear real, raw, and unbiased founder stories, talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly, all those parts of being a founder. And it's why our mantra is where aha meets oh shit. We drop new episodes every Sunday so founders can download and listen to us on a Sunday afternoon, get ready for the week ahead. Hello Chaos is one of the many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That's Orange Whip, W-I-P for work in progress. Orange Whip is a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs in affiliate cities through hyperlocal media platforms that are designed to inform, inspire, and create connections to help founders succeed. Orange Whip is an all-in-one content hub for founders with fresh and engaging stories, curated calendars, and local dynamic roadmaps to help the founder navigate the local entrepreneurial ecosystem. We've really done all the hard work for founders, so they only need to go to one trusted source in their local market to find all the information they need, how to move forward. My name is Jennifer Sutton. My friends and family call me JJ. I am the founder of Orange Whip, and I'll be your host today. And I'm so excited we have BJ Carson on this week's episode. He is the founder of 448. Did I get it right? 448. Welcome, BJ. Welcome to the chaos.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm excited that you joined us, and I really want to hear about, we talked a little bit about your business, but I want to hear about your entrepreneurial journey. How did you get started, and what inspired you to start 448?
So my entrepreneurial journey started at a fairly young age. I've always, growing up, my favorite game was Monopoly. Mm-hmm. And just learning like the game of Monopoly and just kind of taking that and applying it to life, I always kind of wanted to be like a mogul. That was kind of like what I wanted to do. There were a few things that I typical things that I wanted to do growing up. But when I really thought about it, a mogul is what I wanted to be. I wanted to own multiple businesses and, just be able to help people and set people up and, be able to make an impact in a very different way. So my first business venture, I started a clothing line. It was somebody that I went to school with. They went to Virginia Tech for industrial design. So I sought them out and brought the idea to them, and they were with it. So we rolled and we worked on the business. We had some hurdles we had to overcome, but eventually we kind of put it out there. We got rolling, and a short while after everything started rolling good, my former partner ended up snaking me out of the business.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. So you can tell us like what to watch out for. We'll talk about that.
Yeah. So when it was a point in which I can look back hindsight and I kind of see where it kind of started to
yeah.
shift.
Like, what were those signs?
Yeah. So my former partner, he was in college and was dating a young lady. And, we were thinking about expanding our team. He was thinking about bringing her on. She had a background in like international business or finances, something like that. And I was like, okay, the skill set was kind of there and it kind of made sense. And I was like, I asked him, I was like, are you sure? I was like, if something goes, on between you guys, I don't want it to be, any rift in the business. He was like, oh yeah, man, I'm sure. I think she's the one. And, et cetera, et cetera. I was like, okay. So we roll with it. And, come to find out, everything was being put, when the trademarks and the registration, the LLC and all of that, he started putting everything in his and her name.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my name was never on any of the documents. So
they were cutting you out.
Yeah. Mm. So that happened, and that took me down a dark place mentally for a while.
because it was a friend, right?
Yeah, it was a friend. Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't think friends are going to do that. I've had a similar experience of, man, I also own a marketing firm. Mm-hmm. And one of our first projects, like our first big, we were, you know, had been in business a couple years, but, you know, and she brought us this like very large piece of business, and it was her employer and one of our biggest projects, and completely took advantage of it. And we ended up having to go to court, all that. And just to watch somebody just completely lie and you know, no character, none of the values, no morals. And it was just like, whoa, you are not the person I thought I knew for 15 years. Mm-hmm. And it's heartbreaking because you do let your guard down a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And you don't think somebody's going to do that. We call that the hard knocks, the MBA of business of, well, I guess I just, you know, I learned that lesson. Never again.
So like you went even into litigation with yours. I didn't take it that far for one, you know, as a struggling, you know, young person trying to funnel everything they're making into a business. Like I depleted all of my resources, thousands of dollars, you know, funneled into this. And I didn't have, you know, thousands more to get a lawyer involved. No.
And that's what they bet on. That's what people bet on, that you're just not going to do it.
Right. But then even that, like say that I do all that, say that I win the case, which I had a strong feeling that I would. Then it comes the challenge of still growing and progressing the business.
Yeah.
So then you've had all of this time tying this up, and then mentally this is bogging you down. You're not going to have time to, you know, try to work on this, work on the business, and then overcome that and all the, you know.
Yeah. You wear all those hats and the energy you've got to put towards that.
Bingo.
That's right. Because I was like, it's not just time, you know, it's time, money, but it's also energy spent.
Bingo.
So you were like, all right, I'm not going to deal with that. Then what, where did 448 come into play?
So after that, I was working a job with a family business, and that gave me, doing that gave me the flexibility that I needed to, you know, go and travel and move and, you know, be gone for, you know, a week at a time, and, you know, without having to put any PTO or, you know, any of that. So it was beneficial for me. I wasn't making money at the time, but, you know, I was betting it all on my dream.
Right. Investing in yourself. Right.
So after that, a lot of people don't even know this. So after that, I took a job working at Sonic as a second job.
Really?
Yeah.
Just to make ends meet.
Exactly. I had never worked in the fast food. I worked my first job was Tadpole's Fish Camp. And being from Greenville, you may
be. Oh, yeah. No, I know. Yeah.
That's my first job. So that's not even fast food. So then I went to working at Sonic, and I was a little bit older than, not by much, but I was a little bit older than everybody that was kind of working in there. And it was just like, dang. I was like, nah, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I can't do this. So
it's not an easy business.
No. So I worked, and then so I don't know if you know about Sonic. Like Sonic gets like crazy busy at certain times of the day.
Yes, they do.
Like they get crazy and like at night as well. So I was like, man, no, this is way too much for me to remember, and I'm gonna be messing up people. No, I can't do this. So I had a my best friend of 25, 26 years. He went to school with a girl who was a recruiter. He knew I was looking for another job. So he put me in contact with her. And she was telling me a job about Mitsubishi. And right there in Greer, the Mitsubishi dealership had just opened up. This was like 2017. And so I was waiting for about 2 weeks and I never heard anything back from her. And I went up to Mitsubishi, unbeknownst to me, she was talking about a Mitsubishi polymer, like a factory job. So I went to the car dealership and I went in, I talked to them. They gave me the job on the spot.
Oh my goodness. So it was meant to be.
You're right. So I sold cars for the next 3 years and realized I didn't want to do that anymore. You know, telling you what I wanted to grow up being, knowing I wanted to have my own company.
Yeah.
Like working in car sales, like you have to be like in it.
That's right.
Like you have to be in it. And when you leave, you're still in it. Like you're always in it. And it's more so a career than a job.
Yeah.
And I realized just because, like you were saying, like the morale of people, you know, in the car business, that, you know, the car salesmen, they get a bad rap, you know, just in general.
Right.
But it's some people who understand and don't really like subscribe to like the immoral stuff. Like I didn't agree with. So like if you buy a car, the dealership will get the loan at a buy rate from the bank, and they have 2 points of reserve. And I probably shouldn't be telling people this.
Secret sauce of buying a car.
Secret sauce. This is a free game, and I really should take this and monetize off of this. But, so the dealership gets the loan at a buy rate, in which they give it to you at a 2 point markup, and it's government regulated. They can mark it up by 2 points, no more than 2 points, regulated by the government. Huh. And so if you get the loan at a buy rate of like 3%, the dealership is going to mark it up to 5%.
Okay.
But present it to you as, you know, five, they're not going to tell you that this is a buy rate and all that.
Right.
That money. So just understanding the business of it and just all of that, I was like, no, I don't want to do this. So I quit. So I quit cold turkey, and my boss, me and him were really good friends, and he was like, "What, dude? You weren't even gonna tell me?" I was like, "I told you were gonna try to talk me out of it." So right.
You're like, "I got a dream. I got a dream. I gotta pursue."
Exactly. Right. So 2019 rolls around, and about this time in 2019, Nipsey Hussle got killed.
Oh yeah.
So it just so happened that I quit around that time, and then Nipsey Hussle gets killed, and I found out they're doing the funeral. So he was somebody that I got introduced to Nipsey in 2011, and I always like gravitated to his mission and what he stood for and what he was doing and his stance in the community. And so I just respecting that and following that, I felt like I had to pay homage.
Right.
So my first time on the West Coast 5 years ago, I came to California. I got a hotel in Inglewood and I Ubered around places. And I was on, when they did the procession, they drove his hearse 25 miles around Los Angeles.
Whoa, I did not know that.
Yep. And at the end of it, they stopped. The last stop was Crenshaw and Slauson, where his store is. And so I was on Crenshaw and Slauson, and it was hordes of people.
Wow.
Somebody sent me a DM on Facebook, and they were like, because they knew I was out there, they were like, "Bro, are you in this?" It was it was a helicopter overshot.
Wow.
Like ants, the whole block. The whole intersection is filled and swarmed with people. It was one of the most surreal things that I ever experienced. And from there, I left there and I came back home. And the year prior, 2018, I started consuming cannabis on a consistent basis after being introduced to it 10 years prior and not liking it.
Right.
And so I had been doing like tons of research, tons of hours on YouTube, tons of hours scouring the internet for about 6 to 9 months leading up to that. And so when I came back, I actually have it here.
Yeah.
I have this composition notebook. I just started writing down plans on what
sorts of stuff. Yeah.
Like all sorts of stuff. And I knew I wanted to be in the cannabis space. So my aha or oh shit moment was when I found out that we have an endocannabinoid system in our body. So we have an endogenous system that's made to receive the plant. It's meant to receive, cannabinoids. And so if you look at THC, CBD, CBG, CBN, CBC, all of those are different cannabinoids and they affect you in different ways.
Right.
And we have the endocannabinoid system is comprised of CB1 and CB2 receptors. And I think CB1 receptors, I could be getting this crossed up. CB1 receptors, I think, are found in the brain.
Okay.
CB2 receptors are found throughout the body. So if you know anything about cannabis and about, consuming the effects it gives you, people will say like a head high or a body high.
Right.
That's because it's binding to the CB1 or the CB2 receptor.
Gotcha. Or the calming effect and,
Yeah. And a lot of people, I'll speak to that and I'll continue what I was saying.
Yeah.
A lot of people associate like THC percentage with, the effects you're going to feel, but THC percentage is not what you should really be going after. Really the terpenes is what was responsible for giving you effects in cannabis.
Right.
And terpenes are essential oils that are found in plants. So, everyday items have terpenes. Like if you eat an orange or lemons, like those have limonene in it.
Okay.
And those terpenes are present in cannabis also. So that was kind of like
those were your aha of I should get into this business.
Yep. And so just understanding the history of cannabis, you can go back to 17, 4 centuries ago. It was mandated in Jamestown, which is now like the Virginia, DC, Maryland area.
Right.
It was mandated if you own land, you had to grow hemp. It was a cash crop. If you own land, the government made you grow it. They made you grow so much of it. And then they came around and collected it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So you can imagine, fast forward into 1937, the Marijuana Tax Act was passed, responsible by Harry J. Anslinger. See like why it should raise eyebrows. You go back to 1619, legal force by the government to grow it if you own land, to 1937. Now it's illegal all of a sudden. This is something that the country was built on.
Right.
So now all of a sudden it's illegal. So just understanding that. And I was like, wait a minute. There's something there. And so just coming back, like I said, from the trip to California, paying homage to somebody that I believe is going to, whose thought process and, intellectual power is revolutionary to, any entrepreneur. You got to think of, but one of the things Nipsey Hussle says is, if you never quit at something, you do it and you never stop, there's no reason you shouldn't get to, where you're going.
That's right.
Or what you're trying to achieve.
Just keep working on your craft. Keep digging. It's that 10,000, we got the 10,000 hour rule, right? Mm-hmm. The more you spend on it, the better you get. The deeper you get, you become that expert. So when did you start 448?
So I started 448 in August of 2019.
Okay.
So I came back. This was April. I think it was April 10th. I went out there. Went out there for about 4 days, 10th to the 14th. So April, May, June, July. So about 3 months after I came back from California.
Okay. So you started. What's been, so 448, it's a resource, and you called it like a content hub for anybody that's in the cannabis business.
Yeah, so it's a minority focused cannabis information hub. So we're our pillars are education, social equity, and restorative justice.
Okay.
So essentially how this platform, you know, or the umbrella of this platform looks to serve entrepreneurs. We look to serve minorities within the cannabis space. Okay. So we look to be information and just a media hub, just a source for, you know, entrepreneurs, minority entrepreneurs within the cannabis space who are looking to get their product out there, who are looking to, you know, somebody who's looking to get into the industry. So we want to create resources. You mentioned something we were talking about offline, like incubators.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. So we want to create incubators. I'm currently working with an organization. It's a Black woman owned mother-daughter team who own a dispensary out here in Los Angeles called Gorilla RX. So I'm working with them, who they've just opened up or about to open up a Gorilla University, which is a training center. They're going to be giving, you know, having expungement clinics for people who have, you know, just cannabis charges on their records. They're going to be having like bud tender training courses and stuff like that people can take. And it's right here in the community. So that's one why I wanted to kind of attach myself to this organization and what they're doing. And it's in the Crenshaw District.
Yeah.
I just told you the inspiration that I gained to, you know, fuel 448 was, you know, from Nipsey Hussle, you know, in the Crenshaw District.
Okay.
So this is kind of like,
this is like your give back.
Right. You feel me? This is my give. And this is like a full circle moment for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. So what do you think has been the biggest misconception of, you know, that people have of being a founder and entrepreneur? And how would you debunk that myth?
The biggest misconception, I would say that you're going to succeed. Like, you're going to start a business, you're going to make money. Oh, I'm going to do this.
People are like, I'm going to start this. I'm going to make $1 million like tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
That doesn't happen.
That does not happen. And what I will tell anybody that's going into business, if you're not willing to, if you're not willing to go broke, if you're not willing to invest blood, sweat, and tears, and you're not willing to invest 5 to 7 to 10 years of time and money and not make any return, don't do it.
Right.
Don't do it.
Yeah, because it's hard work. Yeah. I always laugh of, there's people that are like, oh, I'm going to do I get the 4-day work week, or I get to set, you know, it's like, no, that's not it. It's a lot of work.
You'll be working more than a traditional job.
Yeah.
And it's a different type of work. It's a lot of mental work, and you have to have the mental capacity to do so.
Yeah. Well, because then also becomes you're no longer an employee. Now you're the employer. You're the leader. There's a lot of pressures. And like you said, I caught brain sweat. Like you sit and you do a lot of brain sweaty things.
Mm-hmm.
So you told us about kind of your aha and your rewarding moment. What's the biggest oh shit moment, like, where it just was like, what have I done? What have I gotten myself into? And how did you overcome it?
I wouldn't say I've overcome it yet. Okay.
You might be in the middle of it. You're swimming in the shit right now, right?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Well, let's talk about it. What shit are you wading through right now?
I mean, like, when I started this company, I knew what I was trying to start. I knew what I was trying to build, but I guess I didn't really quite like think it all the way through. Like,
most of us don't.
Yeah, right. So it's a lot of times, even to the day, like, I sit and think, I'm like, damn, this is a lot.
Yeah.
Like damn, I didn't really know what I was signing myself up for.
Right. It's funny you say that. You know, I mean, like I said, I own a marketing firm, and we work with really large organizations and a lot of growth companies. And then I counsel startups. That's kind of my give back to the community and helping founders. But it's just interesting. Also, being a founder myself and working on, you know, the two companies, it's really easy for me to come in and help a company kind of get them unstuck or unlock, whether it's a marketing problem or it's a branding problem or it's an advertising, promotion, education problem. Mm-hmm. Really easy to like dissect and help and support. But when it comes to yourself, like mm-hmm. to do it for your own company, we are so close to it. So I've had to really tap into my team on, you know, the company side to go, you guys are have to help me do a like gut check, head check. I'm not sure this is the right messaging. I'm not sure this is like, I got to trust the team and getting advice from the people around, because I have a hard time I can't see it. And I've stumbled and made mistakes on both brands because I didn't seek that counsel. And it's, you know, you brought, like, I was sitting down with one of my, the founders that I coach, you know, she's 3 years into starting this business. And, I was like, what's your vision? She was like, I don't know. I said, you know what, just go do me a favor. Go just take on your lunch break, just go and just sit and think about your business for 30 minutes and jot down like your vision, like where do you want to be, your North Star, you know, what do you like in 20 years, like long term? Because most of us only think of it as like, what do I want to accomplish in the next 90 days or the year or 3 years? We have a hard time really stretching ourselves. And it was interesting. She came back and I was like, and then, you know, the next day I was like, just set it aside. The next day, you know, spend 30 minutes and just write down. Don't look back what you wrote yesterday. Just write down all your thoughts of like, what do you want your company to be? And I said, and then call me and we'll look at it. And she came in and she's like, well, I don't have anything to share. She's like, but I did what you said. She was like, I went for 2 or 3 days. I spent 30 minutes and I was just thinking about like the business and really long-term, like, who do I want to be? What do I want to be when I grow up? What's the type of people I want to recruit and hire? How do I want to tell, like, at the end of the day, what do I want people to know about me? And she was like, I've never thought about it. She goes, just the exercise of just thinking. And she was like, I don't know if it's a vision, but she was like, I know I need to get rid of this person because they're toxic. I know I need to change my, like, I need to have a system for this because this isn't working. And I said, well, you're making progress. I said, because we're all a work in progress, but it's those baby steps of just taking that moment to think and push yourself. And that, like, then you get these little ahas of, you're right. That person is sucking time and energy out of you and the five other people on your team. Get rid of them.
Right.
And she was like, I've been struggling with it. And she goes, the first lunch, it was like, I need to do it. And she goes, I'm leaving here after we meet. She's like, I'm going to let him go. Like, that's my next meeting. And I was like, good job. So, but that's just my point of like, we struggle and sometimes we need the people, you know, our support system, our community or our team to kind of, we need them to push us forward. Which is, you know, a lot of times it's even hard to find those cheerleaders. Cause we're often our own cheerleaders. So even just doing the, I need to make time to plan. I need to make time to think. I need to just jot things down, not edit them. I call it green lighting. I don't edit them. I don't put a yellow light on them. I don't put a red light on them. I just do green light thinking. I'll come back to the yellow light and the red light later. Mm-hmm. But just to get those things out, to kind of unlock what's in our heart and our head, because it's stuck there. Mm-hmm. It's stuck there. So go, like, sorry.
I think for me, like, my problem is kind of like the total opposite. Like, I think
you're a visionary. You're like, oh yeah,
I see the long term. It's the 90,
how you get there.
Yeah, it's the 90, 60 day goals and like what to prioritize, you know, to work on for me.
You need to get a team. You need to have an advisor to go who's not like you. You need to get an advisor that's more of the I call it, and I have one of those on my team. I call her the devil's advocate person.
Yeah.
You know those people that are like, can I just play devil's, like, I'll throw out something. They're like, can I play devil's advocate? I'm like, yes.
Go for it.
That's why you're, because she starts every, because I know what's coming. It's like the, let me tell you all the bad things I see about that idea. Have at it. I need to hear all the bad shit. I need to hear it all. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we need those other people, because they don't, sometimes they don't think like us, and we need those ones to balance us out. Mm-hmm. So what has surprised you the most in your journey and starting 448?
I would say what surprised me the most is, the connections and mm-hmm. the energy that I kind of put out there and what it's, returned. I recently last 420, I had the opportunity to speak on a panel at FAMU.
Nice.
And, in front of, a whole bunch of, college students. So somebody that didn't go to college myself, just getting the opportunity to speak to, people who are in college that are trying to do, what I'm doing, trying to get into the cannabis spaces. It was a very surreal moment. And I see like little moments like that and other similar things and people that I connect with. And it lets me know it's tangible. It's achievable.
That's right.
It's just in place.
And you got to celebrate those wins. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you're even remembering those things, you need to go, that's a big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Because people are looking at you and they're going, I want to be him. And that's, yeah.
And that's something that's crazy to me. It's a quote that I like to, kind of remember. The highest human act is to inspire. Mm-hmm. So to be able to inspire somebody and, something that I did, my action, something that I was able to accomplish, that inspires somebody else to kind of do the same thing. It's like, oh, wow. Yeah. So it's just like moments like that. And that have been kind of like, oh, wow. I'm most proud of those.
That's fantastic. So if you could pick two things that you could change about your business right now, what two things would it be?
More capital. More capital and, to further delve out my team. And you said I need a team. I know I need a larger team, but I need the capital to be able to pay the team members.
That's right.
We're at a point where we're not profitable at the moment. So it's kind of a struggle. If I had something to change, it would be that.
Yeah.
That would,
That gives you that little momentum moment of to get you over that. Like, we need the right people in the right seats, but we need the money to be able to afford them.
Exactly.
I feel your pain, dude. Like, I'm in that right now. Mm-hmm. do you think networking, you said the connections and stuff. How has networking played a big role? Has it played a role for you? How big of a role? How do you network? How do you make these connections? Do you have advice for other entrepreneurs and founders that are kind of like maybe not so good at it? Like, how did you get that speaking engagement? That's like amazing.
I think networking has actually been, what's been most pivotal. I think that's kind of like the cornerstone of everything that I do. Mm-hmm. I also think it's about, being authentic, being real, being, showing up as yourself. Because a lot of times you'll think, oh, people want to see this. Oh, people have this notion or it's got to look like this. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think if you just show up yourself and, your intentions are pure, then they're going to be received.
Very much. There's so much science behind that, BJ. Much science. We talk about the law of attraction, right? Mm-hmm. there's actually a measurement within the law of attraction, you know, of like the chemistry between people. We talk about it like in branding. How do we connect? You know, why do people connect with more authentic brands? Mm-hmm. And it's because it's that law of attraction. But there's a energy factor that when we show up as our authentic self, it presents a much stronger, like 4,000 times the energy level. When we are telling ourselves as an individual to being authentic and real and genuine, when brands and companies tell their stories more authentically, it raises the energy level by like 4,000 times. Mm-hmm. So that it's just putting, so people connect with, it's like this kinetic energy. So yeah. I'm
very glad that you said that, because it's a mantra that I live by, and it's even in my Instagram bio. Energy reads energy.
Ah, that's right.
You can't fake energy.
No, so you cannot.
Like when you know, and it's part of the intuition as well. So it's like when you feel something, you sense it. Like you can feel when it's real.
That's right. Because it's that energy level. People, mm-hmm. I mean, it literally can be sensed. Mm-hmm. I love that. Love it. All right. So what do you do? BJ, what's something you can tell our listeners that's not on your resume, that's not on your LinkedIn bio? Like, you know, what's something that, you know, no one would know about you? That you feel comfortable sharing?
That's a few different ways I can go.
I'm
a very compassionate person. I feel like compassion is something that it's a gift to be able to, you know, be compassionate and be, you know, empathetic and feel, you know, what another person has going on, to be able to place yourself in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a very loving mother. My mother pretty much raised me. She had help along the way, and there were, you know, people, you know, figures, father figures that came in from time to time. But if I credit who I am to one person, it would be to my mother. Mm-hmm. And if you know my mom, she's the most loving person, and she'll do anything for you. And she always makes this joke that I always like pawn her off to my friends. if I know somebody needs something, or my mom's a nurse also by trade. So if I know somebody's like sick or hurt or something like that, I'll automatically try to loop them in with my mom. Hey, this person's dealing with this. You know, what's going on with her? Can you help? I would say that I'm a very compassionate person. So I feel for everybody. I feel for
that's one of my favorite books. You would love it, BJ. I think it's called Radical Empathy. Mm-hmm. And it's talking about how some of the best leaders and entrepreneurs and founders embrace radical empathy. Mm-hmm. And it's really for people that might not have, I mean, you'd probably love it and go, I agree with this book. So like this thing resonates with me because it is me. But it's a great book just to remind us that as we grow as leaders and we become, you know, hiring people, and we're out in the community and trying to inspire, that you have to look at the other person and relate in a way so that, you know, you're growing everybody around you. It's something I've had to learn over, you know, a decade. I was not so good at it. Now I'm like, I think I have embraced more empathy over the last several years.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
I was going to say just to add on to that, like, yeah. I'm a big history buff.
Oh.
I'm big into like history and just how things have played out, and big into like cultures.
Yeah.
And you said something that made me think of it, to tie it together. I'm big into cultures, and I try to learn different cultures just so I can understand people you know, on whatever level, you know, it needs to be. Like if me and you come from a different country, or me, even if there's a like a language barrier,
right?
You know, I'll do anything and everything I can to, you know, try to help communicate and, you know, get my point across and understand your point.
Right. Because isn't that fun to get those diverse thoughts and also to understand where, how people were brought up or raised and those, I mean, I think those are, it's fascinating conversations. It's always kind of like lessons learned and.
Yeah, I love it. I actually had the opportunity to go to Africa. It's been 2 years ago now.
Time flies.
I went to Tanzania and Zanzibar. We went for 10 days. And that experience, I would say that changed my life. It allowed me to see, you know, people growing up outside of the U.S., outside of America, outside of what we see and what we know.
Like get outside our world and see how other people live.
Yeah.
I love that too. So what do you do with your free time?
I like to do a lot of fishing.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Like ocean fishing or lake fishing, or does it matter?
Yeah, it matters. I like lake fishing. Lake fishing is fun. It's extremely satisfying, but a different type of fishing I got into in 2020 during the pandemic. I got into kayak fishing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So I like to fish in a kayak in rivers.
Oh wow.
So I like the river.
You're working your muscles on that one, because those were like you're just
yeah. So I mean, I love like active. Like I want to, you know, be a more active person. I want to live a very active lifestyle. So that, you know, something I love doing, fishing, but it's also kayaking. So it's also I'm working out and fishing at the same time.
Yeah, you get like you're like two birds, one stone. I could
exactly. That's my mantra. Like I love, like if I can kill two birds with one stone, or kill three, four, five, however many birds I kill with one stone, like
we're doing it.
Exactly. And I always shoot to do that. Like, especially if I'm going somewhere, that's my key to traveling. So I like to travel as well in my free time. That's why I like.
Nice.
And then I'll kind of pair it with something else. So I'll be traveling for business, but I'll be, you know, doing pleasure.
Of course. It's all about the experience, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's all got about experience. So what is the best piece of advice you've received as a founder, entrepreneur, and how did it influence your own decision making? How did it, you know, how did you take it to heart?
That's kind of a tough one. Somebody told me before that like a part of my business and how I was trying to build my business, told me that it wasn't sustainable, or yeah, something to that effect. And I kind of took it to heart, but then I also kind of started to, you know, see the whys, why that could be true.
Yeah.
So that allowed me to kind of step outside of it and look at it from a different view instead of being in it. Because when you're in it, your emotions are attached to it. And it's like a child.
You got to set your ego aside a little bit and go, I don't have all the answers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's a key thing too, like curbing ego.
Yeah.
Your ego will kill your dreams.
That's right. That's right. You know, it's interesting. Yeah. I thought when you were saying like somebody was telling you, I caught the naysayer. Sometimes that's actually, it might be the best piece of advice of you can't do this, because I've heard from other founders that go, oh, the hell I can.
Right.
Like, yeah, I will. And I'll figure it out. So sometimes they even, you know, attribute just the person kind of giving them, you can't do that. or you shouldn't do that, or that's a stupid idea, because they have figured out, okay, why do you say that? Let me see the perspective. But don't just tell me I can't do something because you can't see my vision. Maybe I need to articulate my vision differently.
Right.
and get that spirit, you know, I call it the kick in the butt.
A lot of times it's delivery. You know, if you improve on your delivery, you'll get, you know, what you're trying to convey, you'll get that across a lot better.
Yeah. All right. So what are you listening or watching? Are you like a TV junkie or a podcast junkie, or are you an avid book reader? Like what are you consuming right now that's kind of been had impact on you, that you're like, man, you people have got to like watch this or read this or listen to this?
So I don't subscribe to TV, like the shows that people talk about on social media. Like, I don't know any of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know none of it. I do not watch shows at all. But I do watch a lot of sports. But so if I'm watching TV, it's typically.
That's where it is. Yeah.
Yeah. But what I am consuming right now, I'm reading a book. You know, this is one of the books that Nipsey Hussle kind of talked about. Mm-hmm. It's called The Spook Who Sat by the Door.
Okay.
And the book it's a fictional book. It's about the first Black CIA agent.
Huh.
So he's the quote unquote spook.
Okay.
And he sits by the door. So he was in the CIA, but then he gets like hired by this guy running for governor in DC or something like that. And he's just there to be the token Black guy to sway the Black vote.
Gotcha. So
he gets in and basically learns, you know, the ins and outs of the system.
Right.
And
that's a lesson learned right there.
And to learn that and take it back and use it for, you know, himself and his community, and the advancement of that. So that's what I'm reading right now. And I think, you know, people should read this book and like really understand that sometimes if you want to do something,
mm-hmm.
say you want to start a business, this is a real example of somebody that I know. Say you work at Lids and you're making hats. Mm. You're doing all the custom designs and stuff like that. You're working at Lids. It's Lids Machines, Lids Materials. But over time, if you work there long enough, you can learn, okay, I know what the materials cost. I'm dealing with them every day. I know what black hats cost. I know what the thread is costing. Oh, we're out of this thread. We got to replace it.
Right.
Oh, this machine does this. I know how to operate this machine.
Right.
So I know a girl who actually worked at Liz for about 7 years or so. I hope I'm saying that correctly, but now she has her own embroidery company.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Cause you learn the system. I mean, I worked in the agency side for 20 years before I started my own marketing agency. So you do what you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, I have a sidebar of like a funny Liz story. So I worked for one of the agencies I worked for, one of our clients was Hat World,
okay.
Which was Hat World ended up buying Lids, but ooh. Then took the name Lids, which was much better than Hat World. But when that founder, he's like, we need a brand, you know, we need a logo, I need a tagline. And we're like, yeah, can we change the name? Are we ready to change Hat World? No, I love Hat World. But he was like, and the tagline that I really like is wherever you're at, wear a hat. And our whole agency team was like, no, we will not. That's the stupidest tagline.
Right. Cause no. it's some places that you go into and it's customary as respect to take your hat off.
That's right. That's right. But it's still, it's a bad tagline. Wherever you're at, wear a hat. Well, my goodness. Well, we're out of time, BJ. I'm always amazed at how fast these things go. I love talking to you. This was fun. Before we go, tell people how you want people to connect with you, reach out to you. What do you want to tell them?
You can follow 448 at, it's the word four, the word 40. There is no U in 40. And then the word eight altogether, 448. On Instagram, it's 448 underscore on Twitter. I'm not super active on Twitter. And then our website is 448.co.co. So drop it down and you can go there. You can check out the interviews that we have with different founders, different companies. You can, you know, go and read up on terpenes, as I mentioned earlier in the episode. And then you can also shop our apparel. So this is...
I like it. Nice.
Yeah. So this is a mechanic shirt that I did. So if you look at our logo, it's race car numbers and a terpene molecule. So there's a lot of racing in our branding. So if you like this, you can shop it on our shop. And there's different things that you'll probably like on there.
Perfect. We'll link to it.
Yeah. And then people can connect with me directly on my personal Instagram. It's Power in My Skin.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for hanging out. And for everyone listening or watching us live, thank you for joining us. Again, this podcast episode will be published this coming Sunday, available on all podcast platforms. So please subscribe to Hello Chaos, like, comment, and share this great content and help us build a more connected entrepreneurial community. Hello Chaos, again, is one of many resources brought to you by Orange Whip. That's Orange Whip, WIP for Work in Progress. We are a multimedia company dedicated to serving founders and entrepreneurs in affiliate cities. We are 100% free. Just an email to join the community. We are currently in three areas of South Carolina, the Upstate, Midlands, and Lowcountry. So for non-South Carolinians, that's the Greenville area, the Columbia area, the Charleston area, with our goals to expand to be in 30 markets in 5 years. Check out the new edition that will be dropping this, this past weekend. We dropped a great new edition on featuring minority and women-owned businesses because it's International Women's Month. So great stories, stunning photography, a lot of how-tos and tips, along with the curated calendars and the roadmaps. So go find your city and enjoy. If you'd like to be a guest on our podcast or support us, send us an email to hello@orangewhip.com. Y'all, thank you for tuning in to Hello Chaos. It is where aha meets oh shit. I am your host, Jennifer Sutton, JJ, and we'll see you again next week.